Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings to you on a beautiful Friday morning. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's teaching is entitled, God Has Not Given Us a Spirit of Fear, but of Love and a Sound Mind. Now, there is one word that was left out in the title due to space. That I'm going to speak about momentarily. However, let me say that a Sound Heart Radio is dedicated to providing sound teaching that enables an individual to grow up in the faith once for all, given to the saints. And so it is highly didactic, and it is designed that way. And I tell you this because in the Greek New Testament, the word for teacher is taken from this word, didactic. And it means one who is skilled in understanding and teaching the Word of God. And so what we teach is entitled, there's an old book, an ancient book called the Didache. The Didaskalos is the Greek for teacher. And so the word means one who teaches a student in such a way that his will comes under the tutelage of this individual, and so therefore the individual's will is shaped by the teaching. And so God's word is given to us so that he may shape our wills according to his will. And so, hence, this is why we teach in the manner that we do. Now, I'm going to start this morning at least from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. And let me say that 2 Timothy is... was, of course, written to Timothy, who is a young pastor, we believe, at Ephesus. And Paul is writing to him from prison. And so it is believed that Paul wrote the letter of 2 Timothy from a prison in Rome toward the close of his life, and there's a second, please check 2 Timothy 1:8. And so we place the date of the writing around 86. So at the end of the book of Acts, which is the first book of church history, Paul has been placed under house arrest, and you will find that in Acts 28:30-31. But there is evidence from 2 Timothy that Paul was imprisoned a second time, and this is recorded in 2 Timothy 4:16-18. Paul wrote this letter in order to encourage Timothy in the work of the ministry. Timothy would encounter persecution, persecution is from a word which means to pursue. And Paul at one time will say that this word needs to be hunted down as wild beasts. So it is a very severe term. Timothy would encounter persecution and turmoil in dealing with false teachers. And so Paul urges Timothy to exercise his spiritual gifts, not to hide them. And this is 2 Timothy 1:6. He is to face suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. And he is to deal wisely with pseudo-didaskaloi, false teachers. Pseudo-didaskaloi. Now, pseudo in the Greek means lying. Lying teachers. So he is to deal wisely with them. He is to use wisdom for false teachers. And he is to continue to exhibit a strong testimony for Christ in the wake of apostasy, which means to fall away. Interestingly, the term apostasy does not mean to walk away so much physically as it means what goes on in the heart of an individual. So the individual can remain and can use the language which speaks one as being a follower of Christ, but when we look at the actions, when we look at the behavior, we see something totally different. And so his life is the very antithesis for what he professes. So this is apostasy. And so Timothy needs to be encouraged. Paul knows this. Paul has had a long career in ministry. And so he wants Timothy to be encouraged. So in 2 Timothy 1:7, this is what Paul states, or Paul writes, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Notice Paul's language, "nor of me his prisoner." And you say, well, Paul was imprisoned by the Romans. In Paul's mind, and looking from the divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint, Paul understands that he is a prisoner of the Lord. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel," euangelion, "the good news of God, according to the power of God, who hath saved us." I want you to see that language. And I want you to really understand that language. The word saved is from a Greek word that means literally to rescue, to drag out of danger. "Who hath saved us and called," notice the tense of the verb called us with a holy court, calling, "not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." In the writings of Paul, the prepositional phrase "in Christ" occurs upwards of 148 times. Believing ones are in Christ, in Christos. The Greek preposition "in" is a preposition of rest. We rest in Christ. We rest within the sphere of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. The Greek does not use the word "a" a new creation. Greek simply states, if any man, any woman, anyone in Christ, he is the creation. So, back to verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, a pneuma of cowardness is a literal meaning. The word for spirit. So, the language is important. Pneuma, of course, is the word for the Greek word for spirit. Spirit, it speaks the immaterial part or essence of the individual, which comprises intellect, the emotions, will and affections, volition and affections. So it's that immaterial part of the individual. And so God has not given, as part of our spiritual gifts, which we read about in Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, this is not a part of our spiritual gifts. God has not given us a spirit of fear or of cowardness. And so, but God has provided his word, and to his word, he has amply illustrated to us that the safest place for us as believers is always within his will. Again, let me recommend to you that you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the unabridged version, and read another. There's another book entitled Jesus Freaks, which is along the same line as Fox's Book of Martyrs, and both books speaks about the testimonies of saints. Sometimes these testimonies are very gruesome, very graphic, but they're well worth reading. Now, these will never be part of a Sunday school class because of the graphic nature and because these books tell the truth, the real truth, the essence of what it means to be a believer. Believers do lose their lives. We read in the book of Acts that Stephen was the first martyr of the church. He was stoned to death for his faith, for his stand in the faith. Paul was subsequently, at the end of an illustrious ministry, Paul would be beheaded with a Roman sword under the orders of Nero. And Nero himself would later be murdered by his own Praetorian guard. This was a very obscene individual in many ways. I will not take the time in this venue to speak about Nero. But the Apostle Paul lost his life under Nero. And many other believers were murdered by Nero. So God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. In Ephesians 6, Paul speaks about the armor of God. Paul never says the believer's armor. Paul speaks about the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. And the tenses in the Greek means to put on and never take off. Put on once and for all the armor of God. The helmet of salvation is there to protect our thought life, because the enemy will shoot missiles, fiery missiles aimed that our heads are aimed at our thought life, to weaken our thought life, to subdue us, to control us, to keep us imprisoned within the paralysis of analysis, so that we never make positive move toward worthy spiritual goals that God has put into your heart to do or to perform a certain ministry. You must do it. And you must move out according to the Spirit of God to perform His will. And so, and then he goes on, Paul writes, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of dunamios. The prefix is duna. The word is duna. Dunamios, which means ability. Ability. The word does not have a meaning of dynamite or explosive power. Dynamios means ability. There are four different words in the Greek that Paul uses in his letter to the Ephesians to speak about power. Dynamios is one of them. So ability. God gives us ability to do His will. And notice of love. It's interesting to me that Paul would place love here. And so as I think about it, I think about the essence of ministry, the essence of the euangelion or the gospel is what? It is God's story of love. It is God's powerful story of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave as a gift, the ultimate gift, is God. His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him, notice in Him, we have the prepositional phrase in Christ, and now we have the prepositional phrase in Him. That whosoever believes in Him should not die, but have as a possession, but have eternal life. Eternal life. And so love is the essence. Love predates creation. I have in my library a book by Arthur M. Young, who designed the Bell helicopter. The book is entitled The Geometry of Meaning. It is by no means a religious book. And he elucidates what he calls the measure formula. And so it was his idea, his thesis, to go beyond words and the circular reasoning of words as such, and to put forth a way of viewing the world and reality to what he calls the geometry of meaning. It is well worth your time. And in that book, he speaks about love as being the essence and the foundation of the universe. This is not a Christian book by any means. But the ideas in his book are very powerful. It is an old book, but it is well worth searching out. The Geometry of Meaning by Arthur M. Young. So, love. We need the love of God in our hearts. When we have the love of God in our hearts, when we are controlled by His love, then we have a new understanding of the person of Christ. persecution issue to come. Things will not go our way all the time. We need the love of God in order to provide us a sense of well-being. We receive our sense of well-being of our wholeness through love. Love heals. Love reassures. Love creates peace. Love guides. And love protects us from bitterness, anger, resentment, and hostility. Love is foundational not only for us spiritually, but physiologically. And let me say that our physiology, our personal physiology, is uniquely tied to love. Our ability to love. There's an old book called Biochemical Individuality that you should read along this line. And there's so much research that we have come to understand with regard to the relationship between spirituality and our physiology, that is, and our physical health. So Paul knew exactly what he was speaking about. And so we love. We love God because he first loved us. God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, why that language? Oh, a sound mind. In the Greek, the word here for sound mind is literally self-control. Self-control. Self-control is vital in the ministry. And it is so vital that Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 6 as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that when it comes, he writes, beginning in 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the karpos of the pneumatos, the fruit of the Spirit is, notice what kind of verb is, instead of being, the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first word he uses is agape, love, joy, hatos, peace, irene, long suffering. The word long suffering in the Greek is makrothumia. And macrothumia means patience for people, things, and circumstances. Macrothumia. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. The word temperance here means self-control. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. And so, self-control is vital. Self-control speaks spiritual maturity, that the individual is growing up in the faith. Self-control. I control my tongue. James, the book of James, talks about the importance of the control of one's tongue. We all need to work on this. In James chapter 3, he talks about the pathology of the tongue. And I use the word pathology deliberately because in Colossians 3, Paul uses the word He doesn't use theology, but he says pathos. And in Colossians 3, pathos has to deal with the pathology of the tongue and other behavior that does not represent godliness. And so in Colossians 3, Paul writes, 3:5, mortify therefore your members, including the tongue, that is, mortify means to deaden or to subdue, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, filth, inordinate affection, two words in the English, one word in Greek, P-A-T-H-O-S, pathos, or pathology. The root of this word, pathos, is from patho, which means to wound, hurt, or suffer. Now, next to pathos, we have evil concupiscence, which is an old word, and it is the means the result of pathology. The result of pathology. And so it is very serious to understand that one cannot have a healthy spiritual life if one does not have self-control. And how do we get self-control? Well, we become students of the Word of God. We allow God to grow us up in the faith that was once for all given to the saints. And so it is through him, through God and his power, that we come to know ourselves within the sphere of Christ. Our lives can either be shaped by outward circumstances, our persecutors or persecution, or our lives can be shaped within, by God's word. We are told that the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. My word will never pass away. And so therefore, we want the eternal word of God at home in our hearts. God will protect us, God will nurture us, and God will see to it that we grow up in Christ Jesus. And if you have a spirit of fear, confess it to God. Allow God to address that in your life. And you will find that as you grow up in the Word of God, if you have a skillful and well-trained teacher of the Word of God in your area, wherever you are, then be thankful and use that resource that God has placed within your periphery. Learn as much as you can of the Word of God. Become a very serious student. Become a very serious scholar of the truth, and God will bless you. You will grow up in the faith, and you will see remarkable and wonderful things happen in your life. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you this day.